LA Kings captain Anje Kopitar joins us on the program. Anje, thanks a lot for doing this. How are you today?
I'm doing good, and thanks for having me, brother.
Yeah, of course. So before we get into discussion on hockey and career and stuff, how's the family doing? How have you been holding up? I follow you on Instagram, and we message each other, and it looks like you're keeping the kids entertained, and it looks like you're having some fun as much as you can. But what's it been like since the league shut down almost 2 months ago?
Well, I mean, obviously a lot of family time, a lot of trying to entertain the kiddos and make them not as grumpy as possibly you can do. But just being home, spending a lot of quality time, and really just relaxing and waiting to see what's going to go on.
And is this the longest amount of time that you've gone without being on the ice in your professional career at this time of year?
Maybe not the longest quite yet. I think sometimes after the season, I take just about, obviously if you don't make the playoffs, I take about 2.5 months off from not skating. Just to get away from all this stuff, still working out obviously, but just not skating. And then usually like the second half of July, I'll go on the ice and start skating, so get ready for training camps and stuff.
And what are you hearing, if anything, from the team? How much communication are you having with other players, and are you guys talking about what's going on and what could be going on? We're hearing the NHL, Gary Bettman, is saying that he's not going to cancel this season, that they're going to award the Stanley Cup, and he's very confident that that will happen. But what kind of communication are you getting from the team and also from your fellow teammates?
Not much more than you're getting, to be completely honest with you. We talk here and there, and there's, obviously discussions and ideas what maybe needs to be done or should be done or what's going to be done. So, but I mean, there obviously nothing is set in stone. And I think the biggest part is obviously it's still and always will be the safety of the players. I think I don't think you can force it too much without, protecting your guys. And we'll see what happens.
How do you feel about playing with a full visor, a visor that goes down to your chin? Because that's been discussed as one of the things that may happen if and when hockey comes back. Hopefully it's going to come back. But I was reading an article, and Kyle Clifford, your former teammate, was being interviewed, and they talked about that. And he basically said, if that's what has to happen, it has to happen. But how do you feel about that? It'll be pretty weird. You probably haven't worn one of those for a while.
Well, I haven't worn one of those in 15 years, so it'll definitely be something new and something that I would have to get used to. But, I guess Cliffy said it right. If that's what it takes, then I'm sure that's what we'll do.
So you started your career in L.A. in the mid-2000s, and the team wasn't very good, and you grew with the team and grew into the captaincy and ended up becoming a Stanley Cup champion a couple of times. And I have to say thanks, because I was there. I was living there. I got to see it and see you grow into that, the player that you are, and have become a guy that is great offensively and has become an exceptional defensive player, of course, throughout your career. But let's talk about that first Stanley Cup run. If I'm not mistaken, I think you were the eighth seed that year, and it was a team that played not a freewheeling type of hockey, a more defensive and a heavier type of game. What are the memories of winning that Stanley Cup and that season?
Yeah, I think what a lot of people don't realize, I think we, last 20 games, I think we won like 14 of them just to squeak in for the eighth seed. And then we also knew that if we can do that, that we're going to be playing pretty good hockey coming in, because obviously everybody's fighting for playoffs and you're pretty much in the playoff mode at that time. And then, winning all those games on the road. And I mean, we were up 3-0 in every series, so that made it a little bit easier. But we were playing more stingy hockey, and there wasn't very many high scoring games, but I guess we got the job done.
And those teams, you made some great pickups at the trade deadline, and the chemistry on those teams. You had great goaltending, you had great defensive play, but the game has kind of changed, and it seems to be a lot of those players that were once role players, some of the more veteran guys, are being replaced by younger guys as the salary situation has changed over the years. How do you see the game now versus when you first came into the league?
Yeah, it's definitely different. You know, I think there's not as much defensive play as it was. You know, obviously, special teams have always been enormous, and more so now. You know, just because of the new rules and more, you know, power plays getting awarded. So if your special teams are not doing good, then you know, chances are you're not going to have a very good season. So, you know, it's become a little bit more offensive minded for sure. A little bit faster, also a little bit smaller. You know, you don't see as many big guys on the team that, you know, we had through all those runs. So it's transitioning into a faster, smaller game.
And when you came into the league, as you discussed, you were, you know, you're a pretty young rookie coming into this league, and you played in Europe. You played with men when you played in Sweden. So you had that experience playing, I won't say above kind of your weight class, but you've always excelled early on in your career. When you got to the NHL, what was the most surprising thing when you first, your first season in the National Hockey League? What was the thing you went, holy cow, I had no idea?
Honestly, I mean, being a kid from Slovenia, I never, you know, you always dream about it. You never expect it to be in the NHL. So my expectations were not, you know, I don't know, to be completely honest, you never had any expectations of it. So anything that came here, it was the best for me, really. I think the biggest thing, like the most surreal thing, is because, you know, a couple years before that, I'm watching Olympics on TV, and, you know, Rob Blake, Mathias Nordstrom, Craig Conroy, those guys are playing, you know, at the Olympics. And then a few years later, I'm sitting right next to Rob Blake in the locker room. That was surreal to me. That was the biggest kind of like the wow factor. And then, you know, a few months later, you feel like you're a part of them. And then that was probably one of the best experiences of my life.
And when you were a kid, your father, who I know and I played hockey with many times, your father, Matt, is a massive influence. When you were a kid, he built a rink in the backyard and taught you how to skate and taught you how to play. And your father had a pretty cool career himself, winning the league title three times. And he was a member of the Yugoslav and Slovenian national teams. Talk about your father, Matt, and his influence and what you've learned from him as a hockey player.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, obviously he's been massive in my career and my life, you know, as a father figure, as a, you know, as a coach. He taught me how to pretty much do all of it, really, is that is on and off the ice. And I'm very thankful that obviously he has taught me all of this, and, you know, very grateful to still have him in my life. And you know, even to this day, it's, you know, there's still some discussions on what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, but I hold my ground a little bit more nowadays. But, no, I mean, he's a very, very nice person, and loves the game of hockey. And, you know, he's been a big influence, obviously, on my hockey career and Slovenian hockey in general.
And your dad, where is he now? Is he in L.A. or is he in Slovenia?
No, he's back home in Slovenia. He's been quarantined there, and he's been good. So some of the restrictions were lifted now, and he's playing golf and tennis now.
So when you became the captain of this team, and you won the Stanley Cup before you became the captain, but you were instrumental, you were an assistant captain. And when you became captain of this team, what's it like to be captain of the Los Angeles Kings, and did it change anything for you when you became captain?
No, I don't think it changed a whole lot at all. I mean, you know, I'm still very fortunate to have Dustin Brown right by my side, who was the captain before me. He's been a huge help. And then, I have a bunch of really good guys in the locker room that it's not really, hard to be around and kind of leading the charge with. So, it's not hard to, you got to go there. And, I'm sure a lot of people know now that maybe I'm not the most vocal guy, but I'll try to lead by example. And that's how I've been going around.
Now, Kopi, before I let you go, a couple more things. Because on the East Coast, hockey is so much more prevalent and covered, and on the West Coast, the games are later, so people don't necessarily get to see some of those players that go under the radar. And not to say that you've won awards, you won Stanley Cups, people know you're a great hockey player, but there's rivalries there that I don't think people understand how intense they are. We know you got the Leafs against the Canadiens is always a rivalry, but that L.A. rivalry with Anaheim, talk about that rivalry and how it's developed over your career. Because even if the teams aren't great, every time those two teams play, there's a general dislike for one another.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. For me, first coming in here, I had no idea that was up to. And we kept building it up. And then, Ducks won. My first year in the league, they won their Stanley Cup, and then we were not doing that great. But for whatever reason, we always gave them a good run for their money, So the games were always intense, and they got nasty sometimes, which it's all part of hockey. And I still think to this day, it's a good rivalry. There's a lot of emotions always going into the game, and I think it shows on the ice.
When you were a kid, was there a hockey player that you looked up to, a professional hockey league player? What was it like in Slovenia? Did you get to see much professional hockey on television? Were you exposed to it?
No, a little bit. Some European leagues would be on TV. Definitely no NHL. And, even if there was, I probably wouldn't be able to watch in the middle of the night with school and everything. But, growing up, I really liked Sergei Fedorov. He was probably my favorite player.
Now, last question before we let you go. And again, thanks for doing this. The Stanley Cup wins, you won two Stanley Cups. What is your career highlight? Is there one moment that stands out for you?
No. Winning two Stanley Cups, obviously, it's huge. And it's probably definitely my best hockey moment. Playing the Olympics, that's up there. Scoring your first NHL goal, so it's just all of those kind of accomplishments are up there. But if I have to pinpoint, it's one of the two Stanley Cups.
Andrzej, thanks a lot for doing this. I appreciate it, and give your best to my family, your dad, your mom, and I have to say thank you very much for some great memories on those two Stanley Cup runs. It's some of the best times I ever had in my life was watching those games, man. It was pretty incredible. So thank you for that, and stay safe and take care of yourself.
Thank you, Joey. Thanks for having me. You guys stay safe and have a nice day.